Friends in Jesus Christ, in the movie A League of Their Own, the story is told of the professional women's baseball league, which ran from 1943 to 1954. And at least in the film version, the team's star catcher decides to quit just before the league championship. "It just got too hard," she explains to her manager. Infuriated, the manager, played by Tom Hanks, responds, "Hard? It's supposed to get hard. If it wasn't hard, everyone would do it. The hard is what makes it great." And of course, the manager isn't only talking about baseball. He's talking about life. Here in our passage today, Jesus is teaching his listeners about the difficult and the narrow road that leads to life. He's nearing the end of his famous Sermon on the Mount, and from this point on, he emphasizes that his teachings are not just to be praised, but they're to be put into practice. In other words, he's saying to his followers, don't just listen to my teaching to gain a little inspiration, a little guidance for your life. No, my teaching is intended to transform your life. And the only way that it's going to do so is if you not only receive it, but you also live it. He's making the teaching very personal because he wants to see it make a difference in their lives. So what does he do? Well, one of the things he does, he deliberately uses a word that in today's world most people dislike immensely. But it's a word that accurately describes the very nature of the gospel. And it's the word narrow. "Enter through the narrow gate," he says. "Small is the gate, narrow the road that leads to life. Only a few find it." In our world today, to be called narrow or narrow-minded is often viewed as an incredible insult. Call me anything, just don't call me narrow. But what Jesus is saying here is very specific. He's saying, if you want to follow me, then you need to take the narrow way. The way that leads to life is one that demands focus, faithfulness, truthfulness, intensity. And it's the only way that leads to the kind of life that you've been searching for all your life. Now, if we think about it, this really shouldn't surprise us too much. I mean, we certainly apply this principle to other areas of our lives. Do you want to become a great scientist, an incredible actress, a world-renowned musician? I guarantee to do so, it's going to demand tremendous sacrifice regarding your time, your energy, your discipline. If you want your dream to become a reality, it's not going to be easy. And the same is true spiritually. This principle of narrowness leading to fullness is just as true for our spiritual life as it is to many other things in life. Unless we're willing to commit ourselves fully to the life of Jesus Christ, we'll never know true spiritual prosperity. This teaching of Jesus is about as blunt and clear as it can get. When it comes to spiritual things, no one is on the fence. Okay, so what are these two roads that Jesus is teaching us about? Certainly, one of the important keys to understanding this text is to first understand who Jesus is talking about in verses 21 through 23. Listen again to what he says there. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons, perform many miracles?' And I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So who are these people? What do we know about them? Well, for starters, we know that whatever they are doing, they're doing in Jesus' name. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? First thing we know is that they claim to be Christians. They're doing good things in the name of Jesus. They're professing believers. They refer to Jesus as Lord, not just once, but twice. Lord, Lord. It's a sign that they acknowledge the deity of Christ. In other words, they believe Jesus is indeed the Son of God. But then also look at all the many things that they're doing in Jesus' name. They're prophesying. They're casting out demons. They're performing many miracles. These are folks engaged in ministry. In today's culture, these are your church leaders, your pastors, your elders, your deacons, your youth leaders, your Sunday school teachers, you name it. These are folks actively engaged in ministry. And as a result, people's lives are being changed. Demons are being cast out. Physical healings are taking place. And what does Jesus say to these productive Christians that profess Him as Lord? He says, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. I never knew you. What in the world? In other words, you may have all your doctrine right. You might profess me as Lord. You might be used mightily by me to change people's lives. But I never knew you. You never really had a relationship with me. You never lived into the truth of John 17, verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And because of that, you are not saved. You never had saving faith. I never knew you. And folks, if that doesn't wake us up, if that doesn't scare us a little bit, then we're probably more spiritually asleep than we realize. Because it's supposed to scare us. You see, what Jesus is saying here is that you can be an active member of your church. You can know your Bible front and back. You can be perceived by others as the most loving, giving, and generous Christian in the world and still not know Jesus and have saving faith. And then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Apparently, the people Jesus is talking about here in these verses have many, many spiritual gifts. And God is certainly using them to do great things. And truth be told, that's not a big deal. God can use anyone He wants to. He's done that throughout history. God even uses people like Judas to accomplish His work here on earth. However, what these people don't have is spiritual fruit. And that's what makes all the difference in the world. Spiritual gifts are what you do. Preaching, teaching, counseling, serving the poor. The list is endless. Spiritual fruit is what you are. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, self-control. And what Jesus is saying is, if your inner life is not growing like that, if your life is not being transformed, formed more and more into my likeness, then you don't really know me. You don't really know the gospel of Jesus Christ. So then who really does know the gospel? If all these people who are doing great ministerial work, leading thousands to Christ, prophesying in His name, casting out demons, even performing miracles, if these people aren't on the narrow road, then who is? I suspect that for many of us, When we read this passage about the narrow road and the wide road, our interpretation of it goes something like this. Those who are on the narrow road are those who are following God's laws. It's those who are striving to keep the Ten Commandments, have a disciplined prayer life, read their Bible every day, go to church every week, are heavily involved in a lot of good Christian activities. It's all those who are striving to do good things in the name of Jesus. And as for the wide road, well, that refers to those who are living immoral lives, those who are acting out sexually or actively pursuing the idols of the world. Who knows, maybe they show up at church once a month, but of course, they're not really involved in ministry. If that's the way you've interpreted this passage, the somewhat good news is that you're not alone. The bad news is that we're interpreting it incorrectly. We're missing the point Jesus is making here in our text. Because since when do our works or our behavior ever earn us eternal life or standing before God? So what does the metaphor mean then? What is this narrow gate and road, and what is the wide gate and road? What is Jesus trying to teach us? At the heart of his teaching here is the concept that those who enter through the narrow gate, that tiny little gate that looks like you will be crushed or smothered to death when you enter through it, that's actually the gate that leads to life and to glory itself. Small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life. And of course, on the flip side, there's also this incredibly inviting wide gate that leads to a beautiful boulevard of a road. Unfortunately, it's also a road that leads to destruction and ultimately to death. It leads to hell itself. So that's the main concept. The small and narrow gate is the one that looks like it might kill you, but on the other side, you discover that it actually leads to life. In other words, to a place filled with beautiful rivers, mountains, trees, a place of everlasting peace. And in contrast, the wide gate, the broad road, is one that looks quite inviting. However, inevitably, it also leads to eternal destruction and death, to a place where you literally are choking for breath, a place of eternal anguish and suffering. There's the image. But what exactly are the gates and the roads themselves? What is Jesus referring to here? How can we know if we've entered the right gate and we're traveling the narrow road? And how can we be assured that he won't say to us, "I never knew you"? What are these two roads? Before we make a distinction between the two, let me just point out that on the surface, the roads will likely look the same. Remember the context of our passage. There are two roads, there's two trees. Next week, Pastor Brad will be talking about the two homes. On the outside, the two trees look the same, but there's something different on the inside. Something with the part that you and I can't see. Something that causes one tree to bear good fruit, the other tree to bear bad fruit. The two homes look alike on the outside, but hidden underneath, one has its foundation on the rock, the other on the sand. One will stand up to the storms of life, the other will fall. Remember, not everyone who says, "Lord, Lord," is a true Christian. They may look the same. They may go to the same church. They may serve on the same committees. On the outside, they may look like one another. It's the inside that matters. And so go back to the metaphor, these two different gates and roads. And since Jesus makes it clear that more people are on the wide road than on the narrow one, let's begin with that one first. The wide gate, the broad road that Jesus is referring to, is the road that every human being is on, unless the Holy Spirit has radically changed our heart. The wide road is the one that every single one of us is on, unless the Holy Spirit has radically changed our heart. Talk religion with anyone you know, and I guarantee that oftentimes one's basic belief and understanding is often like this. If I do good things for God, He'll do good things for me. It's at the heart of every other world religion. If I pray, if I fast, if I go to worship, if I do all these things, God will bless my life accordingly. The wide road is this tit-for-tat type of relationship with God. If I do this for Him, God will do this for me. Lord, if I pray really, really hard this week, then certainly You will bless me with that new job promotion I've been longing for. Lord, I've been following Your commandments pretty well lately. Help me with my math test today. And of course, we all know the reason that some sports players succeed and others don't is because some players are simply more devout believers. I mean, don't you see how many athletes eagerly give glory to God after a victory, but are rather silent in defeat? One of the reasons the wide road is so broad is because it's filled with people who think that if they live a good enough life, if they do enough good things for God, God will certainly accept them. He'll bless them, not only in this life, but also in the next. And the scary thing about this, and perhaps another reason why the road is so wide, is because it often includes many people within the church. It includes all those who think that by their good deeds and by their morality, God somehow loves them more and is just waiting to lavish them with physical, material, and spiritual blessings. The wide road is filled with all those who are trying to be their own saviors. And sadly, that particular road, the road that believes that it's up to us to reach for God and the blessings that we think we deserve, that's the road that leads to nothing but misery and nothing but death. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not that we reach for God, but that in the person and work of Christ Himself, God reaches down to us. The narrow road is that God, in His infinite love, reaches out to us and gives us a perfect record through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ our Lord. In Jesus Christ, God clothes us with robes of righteousness. And when we are clothed with His robes of righteousness, we are fully accepted, completely adopted, perfectly loved by God, even though we did nothing to deserve it. The reason the narrow road is so narrow is because there's only one way onto the road itself. There's only one on-ramp. Jesus says, "I am the way, I am the truth, I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." In other words, we don't get onto the narrow road through our family, through our church family. God may certainly use them, but the only way onto the narrow road is through Jesus Himself. We have to deal with Him personally. He has to be Lord. And one of the things that means is that all the other idols in our life, all the other things that we're basing our identity upon, our own righteousness, our own image, our fame, our money, our career, our power, our influence, our family, our relationships, you name it, all that has to take a back seat to our relationship with Christ, the living Lord. And we need to repent of anything that's taking priority over our relationship with Him. You see, the reason the road is so narrow is that we can't take any of our own stuff on it. The only thing that we can take is Jesus Christ, Christ alone. And then when we do, we begin to discover that He is far more than all those other things combined. He is all that we need, and He is so much more. Perhaps a good picture of the difference between the two roads can be seen on the two different signs in Dante's Inferno. On the one road that leads to life, we read, "Abandon pride, all ye who enter here." And on the road that leads to destruction, we read, "Abandon hope, all ye who enter here." To summarize, pride has to die, if we want to have hope. Pride has to die if we want to have hope. Now, again, on the surface, the travelers on each of these two roads might both be doing the same things. They're both praying, they're both serving the needy, both striving to obey God's commands. And yet the inside is where everything is different. You see, the traveler on the wide road is still entirely self-focused. He's thinking, if I do these things for God, God will do these things for me. Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we not drive out demons? Didn't we not perform miracles? Lord, look at all the good things we do for you. Please open the gate. Let us in. And meanwhile, the traveler on the narrow road is saying, because God has already done great things for me, therefore, I will strive to do great things for him. Because God loves me despite my sin, I'll strive to live my life for him. And again, the difference between the two travelers is that one is trying to save himself, and the other one already knows that he or she is only saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. So what is the narrow road? Well, the narrow road is the way of Jesus. Grace alone, through Christ alone, we are saved by Jesus, not by our own works. And how do you know if you're on that road? You know it when you've received Christ into your life. You know it when you know that you're fully accepted, adopted, treasured by the one alone who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You know it when you're so grounded in Christ that the circumstances of this life mean very little in comparison to your relationship with Him. You know it when deep down you know that you're a child of the King, perfectly loved by the Father in heaven, and that perfect love is driving out all your fear. And now remember, there's no neutrality here in our passage. You're either on one road or the other. No one's on the fence. One is either in Christ or they're not. So if you're here this morning and you've never personally asked Jesus to come into your life, don't put that off any longer. Today's the day. Today's the day that He's knocking on the door of your heart, longing to come and give you life. Today's the day of your salvation. Today's the day to take the narrow road that leads to new life, the kind of life that can only be found through Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.